Good morning and welcome to each one that came out this morning. It's good to see each one here, and hopefully we can all worship together. I'll say too right away that hopefully you didn't come thinking you're going to learn something new this morning, because I don't feel like I have anything new to share. I want to share God's word with us this morning, and hopefully that shouldn't be new. God's word shouldn't be new to us as believers. For a title this morning, I would like to call it a time to grow. So we think about the rain outside this morning. I think my dad used to say rain makes things beautiful and rain also makes things grow. And so I trust that God's word can make us grow this morning. I want to start by reading part of a devotional that I read recently that I thought went well with growing. And so I'm going to read that at this time. It says, "There's this tree in my front yard that gives me fits several times a year. It leans. No, it never breaks or stops growing. It just leans. It's attractive, deep green, nicely shaped, and annually bears fragrant blossoms. But let a good, healthy gust give it a shove, and over it goes, like, fast. It happened today, right now. The thing is tilted on about a 45-degree angle towards the north. Stake and all, over it went. Seems such a shame this good-looking, charming tree can't hold its own. Take away the support ropes, and it's only a matter of time. No match against the invisible slugger with a wild haymaker. Unless I lift it up, it will stay down for the full count every time. Why? Well, in layman's language, it's top heavy. Lots of leafy branches and heavy foliage above ground, which all appreciate and enjoy. But down underneath, weak roots. Little shoots here and there reaching out for water and nutrients. But it's insufficient for support the fast-growing stuff up above. And the thing doesn't have enough sense to lay back on the leaves until the roots can catch up. So out I go in the morning to bring it back up straight. I'll talk to it, give it a piece of my mind. I can't afford to lose, and with a jerk, tell it to straighten up. But let another blustery bully come roaring out of the corner, and I'll guarantee you it will fall victim to a sucker punch before the third round. If nothing else, that overgrown, ornery perennial has provided me with an object lesson I can't ignore any longer. Strong roots stabilize growth. If that's true for trees, it's certainly also crucial for Christians. Roots strengthen and support us against the prevailing winds of persuasion. When the mind-bending gales attack without warning, it's the network of solid roots that hold us firm and keep us straight. Beautiful branches and lacy leaves, no matter how attractive, fail to fortify us as the velocity increases. It takes roots, stubborn, deep, powerful roots to keep us standing. That explains why the Savior said what he did about the plant that withered. It had a root problem, so it couldn't handle the blistering rays of the sun. And why Paul's prayer for those young, energetic Ephesian believers included the thought of being rooted and grounded. And why the apostle urged the Colossian Christians to be firmly rooted, built up, and established in the faith. Strong roots stabilize growth. That's the reason they are so very important. Without them, we lean and sometimes we snap. But before you get excited about whipping up a strong set of roots, remember this. It takes time. There's no instant route to roots, and it isn't fun and games either. It's hard work. Nor is it a high-profile process. Nobody spends much time digging around a tree trunk admiring what neat roots you have. No, the stronger and deeper the roots, the less visible they are, the less noticed. And so I thought as we talk about growing, it's a good reminder that we need strong roots to withstand the temptations that Satan throws at us. This morning, like I said, my title would be A Time to Grow, and I want to look at some verses in 1 Peter. So, it's important to grow. It's important to grow up. Little story here from this article or this topic I was looking at. I'm going to be following some. Most of us at different times are concerned with growing up. I think of a mother who was driving her 4-year-old daughter to preschool one morning. She also happened to be a medical doctor and had left her stethoscope on the front seat. Driving along, she noticed her 4-year-old was quite interested in the stethoscope and was playing with it. The mother and doctor began to think to herself, "Could it be that my daughter will grow up to follow in my footsteps? It would be wonderful if she would be like me." Just then, her thoughts were interrupted as her daughter spoke into the stethoscope and said, "Welcome to McDonald's. May I take your order, please?" So, yeah, let's read here. I'm going to read from 1 Peter, starting at verse 13. I'm going to read the rest of that chapter. But what I want to really talk about this morning is the beginning of chapter 2, but I'm going to read these verses first. And in my Bible, it says, above verse 13, it says, "Called to be holy. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passion of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.' And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishing things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower fails, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. So here we see Peter is talking to us as Christians, talking to believers, and the call to be holy. And then I want to look, I'm going to just read the first three verses of 2 Peter, of 1 Peter 2, because that's where I want to, that's what I want to focus on this morning. It says, so put away all malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. So, yeah, here we see Peter. Let me just get here to my notes. Peter is talking to Christians. He's talking to us. And there's three things in these verses that I want to focus on. The first part of verse 1 is, I'm going to say spurning, and then moving on later it'll be yearning, and then lastly learning. So spurning has to do with putting aside. And these first sins listed here, I'm just going to go through them just as a reminder to us of, you know, what the word says here. And, yeah, hopefully just as an encouragement to us to follow the word. So the first word is malice. And malice has to do with wickedness. Wickedness has to do with how people live who do not know Jesus as Lord of their lives. In the Bible, the wicked are simply those who do not know God. Whatever the particular sin in their life, that isn't the emphasis with the wicked. The wicked are simply those who do not know God, who do not know Jesus Christ. Believers are to put off malice, wickedness, the inclination to live like the world lives. God calls believers to a higher standard. God calls believers not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of their mind. So I ask, and this is for me as much as anybody, but are we living like the world lives? And I'm not talking about Sunday mornings. What about Monday through Saturday? Is there a difference in our lives? Can people that we come in contact with, can they tell a difference? Those who are born again are called to be different, to live lives that take sin seriously. Sometimes I think, you know, all the sin around us, we get, if we're not careful, we get callous to it, and it's like, oh well. But I want to challenge us to take sin seriously. To live lives where repentance is a daily concern. To live lives that seek honor of Jesus above all else. To live lives that turn away from the world and its allures and turn to God with wholehearted devotion and commitment. Can we make them claims today? Is that, I trust that that's us as we go about our life, that people can sense and see a difference in the way we live our lives. The second word there that I want to look at is deceitfulness. Taking off that garment of deceit. I think we all know what deceit is. Deceit is when you try to pull one over someone to your own profit and gain. To deceive for your own ends, to not be honest, forthright, a person of integrity. There's a guy that we use as a broker at work for some areas where we don't have salespeople or some accounts that he has contact with, and he's not a Christian or anything, but sometimes some of the ways that he presents things, like it's not a concern to him to not be honest. And if it's easier for him or beneficial for him, he will make up a nice story. And sometimes they're pretty funny, actually. But is that okay? Are we okay with that? Just recently, you know, after one of his emails that went out that he had cooked up to, try to get himself out of trouble for a commitment he had made, we had to call him in and just say, look, this is not who we are. This is not what we stand for. We try to the best of our ability to be honest and do business with integrity. And, he's not a very spiritual person, I think, was his response. And I'm just using that as an illustration of, for some people, it's easier to try to, you know, to be deceitful than it is to be honest. And most times in the end, it just gets them into deeper trouble than it would have if they would have been honest from the get-go. Another situation at work recently, I had a situation, I'd buy a lot of the meat that we use, and so a lot of times I approve the bills to be paid, and this one vendor sent a bill in, and I was looking at it, and I was like, wow, there is something wrong here. And so I start double-check the market, and because it's a formula price off the market, and they miscalculated this by $1 a pound, and it's a full trailer load of meat, and it was to my benefit. You know, I was roughly $40,000 ahead. And so I just, you know, I tried calling, I got voicemail, so I just sent an email to the guy and said, you know, someone made a mistake here, I think you want to correct this. And, of course, he thanked me and said, yeah, you're right, it should be that price. But when things like that come up, if it would have been the other way, where he overcharged, I would have called and expected him, you know, to fix that as well. And so I think it's in our best interest when a situation like that comes up to try to deal with it the correct way and do business with integrity no matter what the situation is. Here Peter is calling us to take off the garment of deceit. And then the next word here is hypocrisy. And I think we all know what that is as well. Hypocrisy is playing the actor, going through the role of what it is to be a Christian, but it's only show. It's being a Christian so that you look good in the eyes of the community. Maybe it helps business. And here Peter is saying, you know, believers are called to put it aside, to let it go. The next word is envy. And I think we all know what envy is also wanting what someone else has. And someone has said that envy is the last sin to die. Not sure. I think it can be different for each one of us, but Peter here is saying to, you know, to take that off as well, to put that aside. And then lastly, slander. We all know what slander is. Slander is literally talking down a person. It's also called gossip. Everyone believes gossip is wrong. Peter says that it's not the way truly born-again people live. So we see these sins listed here in the beginning of chapter 2. And all that stuff belongs to the old life. It doesn't belong to the Christian life. So I think we all need to do our best to put that aside, to let it go. And then I want to look at point 2, longing or yearning for spiritual growth. So that's the next command. It's not only to put off and lay aside these sins that so beset Christians, but it is to yearn. And like a newborn baby's long for pure milk of the word. The word translated long for the same word found in Psalms 42:1, where the deer pants for the water. As a deer pants for water, so my soul pants after thee. Are you finding a yearning in your heart for God? I had to think about that. I have devotions. I spend my time in the Word. But do I really yearn? Is it my desire to know Him better, to grow closer to Him? This longing for the Word of God is a passion. A passion for the Word of God, a passion for Jesus Christ. The one who is truly born again, Peter says, will long for the presence of the Lord. He or she will long for His Word and will make every attempt to know God better through the pages of His Word. What's your interest? What's my interest? Is there a yearning in your soul? God has to deliver us from Sunday morning only spectator mentality about the Christian faith. Being a Christian is not dependent upon, nor is it summed up by, simply sitting in a pew and looking bored with the preacher. That isn't the Christian faith. The Christian faith is living dynamically. It's yearning for God. It's to know God, to be excited about God. There's so much indifference and lukewarmness, and when God just gets the leftovers, if it works out, or if I got the money, or if I don't have anything else, then God, you get your due. You see, the time is coming when only those strong churches are going to be filled, that are strong, filled with vibrant, committed people, will endure. Like newborn babies long, yearn, desire. A little baby does not only desire its mother's milk, but that baby has a powerful instinctive urge for that milk. That's what Peter is talking about here. I think those of us as parents know, when we have little children, we know what that urge is. And if they don't get fed in a timely fashion, they let us know. And I think the same can be applied to our Heavenly Father and the way He wants us to communicate with Him. I don't think any of us with children or whatever illustration you want to use, when they're born, have the desire that they'll just stay a baby and won't grow. Every one of us, you know, that has children, not only do we want them to grow, we want them to have the best care, the best food, nourishment that they need to help them through the stages of life. And that's, I think that's, I'm sure that's what our Heavenly Father wants for us. He wants us to long for His Word and to have a passion for Him and the things of His Word. The Bible is pure, it's unadulterated, it's truth. The Bible will not only do you good, it's good food for your soul. And so, I ask us here as a church, myself, are we yearning? Do we have that passion? Are we on fire for the Lord? And then the learning part. Then Peter says, learn by it, that is the word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Here it is. When you are spurning the wrong things, when you are yearning for the things of God in His presence, when you have a passion for Christ, then comes the learning. You grow in salvation. If you're not growing in salvation, you're dying spiritually. So there's no, if you're not going forward, you're going backwards. Peter says, people, you were born again by the word of God, but now grow in respect to your salvation. Seeing Him increasingly as the greatest and highest and most excellent treasure in all the world. Is it too late to learn? No, it's never too late to learn. No matter how old you are, you can still learn something. I heard about a police officer who stopped a car that was filled with elderly ladies. The car was traveling too slow on a major highway. The officer came up to the car and talked to the driver. The conversation went something like this. The officer asked, "Mama, why are you driving so slowly?" She replied, "Well, officer, I've seen all these signs along the way that say 20, and that's what I've been doing. I've been going 20." The officer replied, "Mama, those are signs indicating the number of the highway. It's Highway 20. You're going much too slow." "Thank you, officer," she responded. "Thank you so much. I didn't realize that." But then the officer happened to look in the back seat, and he noticed three elderly ladies with panic-stricken looks on their faces and white knuckles from having held on to one another too tightly. The officer looked back at the driver and said, "Mama, what's wrong with the ladies in the back seat?" "Oh, officer, you see, we just got off Highway 101 a few miles ago." So, yeah, it's never too late to learn, never too late, and especially that's true in terms of the Christian faith and growing in the Lord. And so, my friends, the challenge is to all of us, this is a time to grow, a time to be involved, a great time to be living and serving the Lord. Spurning the sins, yearning for the things of God, His Word, and then learning more of Him. And then the last part there of verse 3 in 1 Peter 2. Is, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord, the word translated kindness is literally delicious. Delicious. If you have tasted how delicious the Lord is. The psalmist said in Psalm 34:8, "O taste and see that the Lord is good." Taste and see. And Peter says here, He is delicious. Good food for your soul. The bread of life for us. So, yeah, hopefully, you got something out of that, and at this time, let's pause for a word of prayer. Father God, I just thank You for the opportunity to come here to Your house this morning and to worship You, and thank You for Your Word. Thank You that, that we have Your Word, that we can freely look at it and freely use it, and just ask that each one of us would continue to grow and continue to have a passion and a longing for You as we go about our lives from minute to minute, from day to day. And, yeah, that those around us would know that we're children of Yours and there's something different in our lives, and that hopefully we could, just be a light to those around us and win souls for You. So again, I thank You for Your love for us, for each one of us, and for all that You're going to do for those that are here this morning and for those that are part of this congregation, that we can spread Your light here in the town of Womelsdorf to those around us and just be, Your hands and feet here in Womelsdorf and for those that we come in contact with. In Jesus' name, amen.